what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hello, and man, I'm glad to be with you this afternoon. I couldn't wait for 3 o'clock today, and I hope you felt the same way. So good to have all of you along with us this afternoon. We'll be here right up until 5 o'clock or... let's make it 2 hours for wherever you're at. We have so many listeners from so many different places. You have to be careful on the internet when you talk about time, because we've got people listening in Seoul, South Korea. We've got people in Norway and in New Zealand, why, even California. Yes, and even Vermont and Minnesota, all over the place. So, and thanks to all of you for your many nice emails that... that you send, and your comments and your research articles and so forth. I appreciate it very, very much, and appreciate all your kind comments. Somebody was asking on Democratic Underground the other day, what kind of a radio show would you like to have if we could make the perfect radio show from the left? And a few of you mentioned this program, and I'm ever so grateful to you for doing that. Thank you. Gosh, I'm blushing. Yes, I am. So good to have you along with us this afternoon, coming to you from the third floor of the Truth and Broadcasting Network building here in Southwest Florida, blue waters and sandy beaches of beautiful Naples, Fort Myers area, Florida. A gorgeous day, a little bit over 90 degrees today. Summer's here. Well, not summer, spring is here. You know, the interesting thing is, though, all of the folks we call snowbirds around here, the people that come down for the winter, starting to see them go home now. As soon as Easter's over, you can see a mass migration heading north on the highway. And in a way, that's good, because all of us locals here will be able to go out to eat again, go to the movies again, do all the things. We'll be able to travel on the roads and not have all the congestion. But there is one small problem. When those people go home, they take all their money with them, too. So... it'll be quiet around here. Not completely quiet. The population of this area is exploding. Last job in the world I'd want would be on a school board around here. In the county I'm from, in Ohio, we didn't build a new school, I'm trying to think, I think for 40 years. I'm not counting a new elementary school. I'm talking about high schools. I think about 40 years. And before that, it was about 40 years before that when they built new schools. But no new school districts, because the population just isn't increasing. Around here, I believe, I could be wrong, but I think the number of new high schools in the last 3 years alone, new high schools alone, has been 12. How do you plan for that? How do you plan for the road? So... we get on these people a little bit for their poor planning around here, but then again, my God, with the population explosion we're having here, and why not? It is paradise, isn't it? Well, kind of. My allergies aren't telling me it's paradise right now. You've heard me complain about that the last week or so. First time in my life I've ever had any sort of thing like that, got some sort of an allergy, and it's driving me nuts. I wish I knew how many trips I've made to the drugstore, and nothing seems to be doing any good. So, if you have any home remedies that are guaranteed to take care of a stubborn allergy, why, you know the email. Send it on in. Hey, how many of you saw the pictures today? Let's get away from talking about me. I'm boring. How many of you today saw the pictures of Tao, the Chinese guy, leader, and Bush together? Man, oh man, oh man, does Bush know how to take a decent picture? I mean... in every picture, he looks either drunk or stoned or something. I mean, there's something wrong with him. Didn't his mother ever slap him upside the head and say, Junior, you know, put on a smile or do something? Oh. And how many of you It hasn't been out that long. How many of you saw the new Fox News poll out today? Can't believe it. Can't believe Fox News put this up. You know the ceiling is caving in on Bush when Fox News reports that their poll, the poll they took, shows his popularity at 33%, the lowest of any of the polls, and these are the people that watch Fox News. Whoa. That is bad news for Junior Bush, really bad news. I mean, I thought his approval rating over at Fox News would be 100%. Places like Fox News and, what was it, FreeRepublic.com over there where the crazy freepers hang out, 100%. But it averages out at 33% on Fox. Wow. You know, somebody had the gall to send me an email saying history is going to treat Junior Bush kind of like the way they treated Harry Truman. Harry was very unpopular while he was president, but as the years went by, the people have been wise enough to figure out that Harry was, in fact, a great president. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Not today, not next year, not 10 years from now, not 100 years from now, at no time in this world would Junior Bush be fit to be Harry Truman's shoeshine boy. Never, never, never. His name should not, and pardon me for doing it, his name should be not mentioned in the same breath with a man like Harry Truman. So, Jerry sent me that. Jerry, come on. Hey, and I do want to thank everybody. You've been so very kind. All of our nemesis is that proper? Is the plural of nemesis nemesises? Or is it nemesi? Or I don't know. I'd have to ask my old high school English teacher about that. But thank you so much, whoever you are and wherever you are, for signing me up for all these great porno sites, the drug sites, all the penny stock sites. I appreciate so much getting thousands of those every day. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And, hey, we got quite a response. And so I'm heartened by this. We got quite a response on my suggestion. And I'm sure I'm not the only one suggesting this. I am so far. But a friend of mine and I were talking about this the other day. We think since the Democrats aren't doing anything about this particular problem we have with this administration, and they're just keeping their mouths shut and hoping that the good fairy will come along and wave her magic wand and make them go away, we think we need to march. We think we need to hit the streets. We think we need to head to Washington. We think we need a couple million of us to go pounding on the door of the White House and demanding that these people leave. And maybe they'll get the message. I think of the mall in Washington were filled, and Pennsylvania Avenue were filled, and Connecticut Avenue were filled, and Massachusetts Avenue were filled. All up and down the major thoroughfares of Washington, D.C. were filled with the millions of people who are thoroughly disgusted with this administration. Don't you think they'd get the message and have to leave? I think they would. Sooner or later, they'd have to. At least the Democrats might get some cojones and start raising Cain and start saying something instead of, well, you know, we don't want to say too much. You know, we're gentlemen after all, and we don't want to upset the apple cart, and it's a civil place, the halls of Congress and the Senate. Oh, sure, it's civil, very civil. That's why Dick Cheney said F you to one of the senators last year. It's very civil, right on the floor he said it. Of course, very civil place. Well, anyway, I think it's a good idea. Toss it around. Talk about it to your friends. I think you get you and me and some of your friends and some of their friends, and anyway, add up to like a couple of million of us, and all descend upon Washington, D.C., and start knocking on doors and making phone calls and making our presence known and becoming a general nuisance in that town and telling them we're not going away until this government has changed? I think it could happen. And despite the hubris of this administration of not ever wanting to admit a mistake, I think we can make them get out. I really do. Is that un-American? Is that anti-American to some of you folks? I don't think so. I think it's democracy. I think it's democracy speaking loud and clear. The people. Hey, how many of you saw... How many of you saw Chris Matthews, old Tweety Bird, last night interviewing Dan Bartlett? Dan Bartlett standing. I got to admit, Bartlett's good. Oh, he is good. He's standing out on the White House lawn, acting like the pious guy that he is. And old Tweety Bird was interviewing him, asking him questions about this, that, and the other thing. God, what a liar he is. Whoa. These people are such whores. It's just hard to imagine. And no, they're talking about little Scotty McClellan being gone. Lovable little congenial cherub-faced Scotty. The guy who most of the White House reporters say is such a nice guy behind the scenes. I beg to differ. I think he and Ari Fleischer ought to be called Ari and Scotty Goebbels. After it all, well, you know, think about it. Wasn't it their jobs to go out in front of the American public every single day and lie through their teeth? Wasn't it their jobs to tell one whopper after another to make Bushy Boy look good? Or at least keep him from looking even worse? Bobbing and weaving, spinning and dodging questions? Or answering them by saying, I can't comment on that because it's an ongoing investigation. I particularly love that one. Call it what you will, but there's a word for a guy like that, and that word is liar. And Scotty McClellan, little Scotty McClellan, is the consummate liar. To hell with this little send-off the press has given him by saying he was only doing his job. Forget that. I'm not buying it. Doesn't a man have an obligation to himself and the American public to exhibit some honor and tell the truth? Doesn't it behoove a man on the public payroll to tell that public the honest-to-God truth? Now, don't give me that crap about how they all do it. I don't give a damn if they all do it. I have no use for a man who will stand in front of the cameras day after day after day and tell one big damn lie after another while smiling and accusing the press corps of being unfair to him. That's Scotty McClellan. If you're nothing more than a paid liar, then you deserve to be pummeled day after day after day by the press. You deserve to have Helen Thomas put you in your place and say you're stretching the truth or abandoning it altogether. You deserve to be humiliated by a Helen Thomas. Now I want to ask you a serious question. Tell me this. I mean this. What is the difference between Ari Fleischer, Scotty McClellan, and Joseph Goebbels? I submit to you that there is no difference. All three of them are liars. Liars paid by evil men to go in front of the public and convince them that black is white and up is down. Liars that are sent out in front of the cameras each day to promote an agenda designed by men who are afraid of the truth. Men have to lie to get their way because if the truth were actually known, the public wouldn't stand for it. Well, maybe that's not entirely true. The American public, it seems, will swallow just about anything nowadays, but at least those who are still riding around with the W stickers on their car will swallow anything. I got to tell you a story. You're going to think I'm terrible, but, you know, this is the truth. I'll tell you the truth on this show. And if I do something like this, I'm going to tell you about it. I followed a guy down the road the other day. I live about 2 miles from town. And I was at home, and I followed this guy down this four-lane highway into Fort Myers, Florida. And he had a nice big one of those Cadillac Escalade SUV trucks, you know. It was a beauty, I got to admit. A behemoth of a vehicle, but it was nice. And all the latest chrome wheels and big tires and all that kind of stuff. It's black. It's beautiful. But on the back of it, right in a very prominent space, he had a Boyce Cheney 04 sticker still on that car. So I pulled up beside him at the light, and I motioned for him to roll down his window. He did. And I said to him, "Hey, buddy, someone pulled a nasty trick on you and put a Bush Cheney sticker on the back of your car. That's a hell of a mean thing for someone to do to you." He quickly rolled that window back up. And I got to tell you, I'd be anxious to see if that sticker's still on that car today. I would like to know. Maybe I'll run into him again soon. Aren't I bad? I know it. But I just don't suffer fools easily. I don't. Anybody that's driving around today with a Bush Cheney sticker on his car, you got to figure, is just a freaking idiot. You just got to figure that. But back to nice little Scotty. Screw him. He's nothing more than a paid liar who obviously wasn't good enough at lying for these guys at the White House. That's right. He wasn't good enough at lying, so they got rid of him. This deal about Scotty leaving voluntarily? Oh, no, 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 no. Uh-uh. They need the best liars on earth to come to work for them. Now you will know that whomever gets the job next will be, in the opinion, you know, in the opinion of the Bush gang folks, will be the best liar in the world. Because that's what they need. Whoever gets that job next will be smooth, they'll be great at spin, and most of all, they will be able to look people in the eye and lie the big one with a big convincing smile on his or her face. I don't know who it will be, but you can bet your bottom dollar that whoever it is, you wouldn't want to trust them any farther than you could throw them, because they will be one champion liar. You see, the Bush's press secretary has to be the best liars on earth. These are people with an evil agenda. They want to take over the world. They want all of the money and the power for themselves and their friends. And they plan to, and they're doing it, redistributing the wealth in such a drastic manner so as to make the rest of us slaves. They think we've had it too good. They think the unions ruined their hold on the working class. Unions kept them from paying people slave wages while working them to death in the coal mines and the sweatshops. They had it so good before the unions came to power. Why, they even worked kids 16 hours a day and paid them peanuts. But they did have the good Republican family values because they allowed the entire family to work 16 hours a day so they could afford to buy a loaf of bread and some watered-down soup. But those nasty, nasty unions ruin things for the fat cats, and now they're going to get even, and they are getting even. The American workers are heading on a downhill slide that will end with them being right back where they were at the turn of the century in 1901. John L. Lewis and Walter Reuther are names that these people hate, and they will get even, and they are getting even. Have you read any of the literature Walmart passes out to new employees about unions? I don't care if you're a union person or not. If you are an American, you need to read the material that Walmart is passing out to their new employees about unions. Everybody should read it. It's sobering. It is anti-American. Well, anyway, who's this new? Who's the new fish going to be in the press office? Going to be Tony Snow? I really enjoyed last night a comment somebody made on one of the programs. Somebody mentioned on one of the cable shows last evening that if I think it was Keith Olbermann that if Tony Snow gets the job, the White House will owe him back pay. I agree. But whoever it turns out to be, it will be someone who deserves no respect from the American public whatsoever. It'll be someone who's willing to stand before the public and say anything necessary to advance the agenda of his or her evil bosses. It'll be someone completely willing to sell his or her soul to the devil for a buck and 15 minutes of fame. Someone who will do anything for money. You know, let's face it. Most prostitutes wouldn't sink that low. There's something some of them won't do, the prostitutes. The next Bush press secretary would be willing to perform any perverted act that his masters ask him or her to do. Somehow, I think even Joseph Goebbels wouldn't want anything to do with these people. I hear that they actually believed, that Goebbels actually believed in the cause he was promoting. As jaded as it was, he believed in it. McClellan and Fleischer could not possibly believe in what they have had to say and do. These guys aren't the high-class call girls of their profession. They're the $2 whores. That's who they are. Don't admire anybody like that. I really don't. Anyway, we're going to take a little break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Everyone you know is a villain or a saint, living down in a hole or sitting high up on the pedestal. Black and white, the only colors that you ever paint, 'cause everyone you know is a villain or a saint. With a 10-gallon hat and a 2-ounce brain, you've been out selling lies to everyone. You're gonna civilize the whole damn world. Is your home on the range? 10-gallon hat with a 2-ounce brain. Cowboy, cowboy, you ain't never seen a cow, but there ain't no one holier than thou. You're a back-slapping, gun-toting coward on the take, looking more like your enemy with every move you make. You'd sell us all to hell with an oily handshake, gun-toting, Bible-quoting fake. Cowboy, cowboy, you ain't never seen a cow, but there ain't no one holier than thou. Nothing is more dangerous than a simple-minded man with the plate deciding everybody's fate. Evildoers hiding in the palm of his hand. No, nothing is more dangerous than a simple-minded man. Cowboy, cowboy, you ain't never seen a cow, but there ain't no one holier than thou. Cowboy,
my speech to the nation, whatever you want to call it, speech to the nation. I asked Americans to give 4,000 hours over the next the rest of your life. Of service to America. That's what I asked. I said 4,000 hours. The man's a menace.
We think so, too. Call Guy James now. 1-866-546-5254.
That's right. 866-546-5254. You better call if you got something on your mind. We want to hear from you today. Speaking of hearing from folks today, where did I put this in my notes? Where did I put it? Boy, I'm so good at losing my notes. I'm so organized before the show starts, and once the show starts, I don't know where anything is anymore. What did I do with it? Well, anyway, I'll find it sooner or later. Got some very interesting email, again, from some of our right-wing friends, and I was going to tell you about it, but I guess I'm not to. I guess I'm not going to right now. Oh, yeah, here we go. Here we go. Here it is. You know those crazy folks I was telling you about the other day that have that ShellyTheRepublican.com website? First of all, if you can, imagine the back room at the White House or even the Oval Office. All right, they've all had a few drinks, Karl Rove and Dan Bartlett and Scotty McClellan and Junior Bush and Cheney and all of them. They're all sitting in there. And they hear something like I'm about to tell you here, and they would be hysterical laughing. They would be absolutely hysterical laughing because they've caused fools like this to say things like this, which they know aren't true, but they know their propaganda has been so successful that they can take the least amongst us, and I mean the very least, talking about mental capacity anyway, brain capacity, and make them believe things like this. And they must be so proud of themselves. It's good. It's really good. So anyway, here it is from that website, A Liberal Vision for America by Mikey. Prognosis negative. Friends, have you ever given any thought on how America would look if the liberal Democrats have their way? I did. My prognosis is not good. Read this. And he actually spelled prognosis right. So that's, you know, he's coming up in the world. And so here's what he said. If the Democrats have their way, extreme increase of taxes, the money will be given to the lazy poor people. All right. Extreme increase of abortions because liberals love abortions and hate life. Man, we're all lining up to commit suicide right now. Decrease of military spending around the world. America would be an easy target for evildoers. Now, I wonder where you've heard that term, evildoers. More of if Democrats had to control. Complete drop of morals and family values. Gays would have sex in the streets, families would break up, and every sexual deviation would not only be tolerated, but in fact encouraged. I guess old Mikey hasn't been reading the newspapers lately about how divorce is much higher in the solid South. And about all the Republicans that have gotten arrested lately for sexual deviant practices, and I guess he didn't know about Mr. O'Reilly. I guess he didn't know about that stuff. All right. And to go on, if Democrats take charge, Christianity will be banned. Ooh. I didn't hear that. Did any of you hear that? Is there a movement afoot amongst the Democrats to ban Christianity? Is that in the party platform? Forget Christmas and Easter. Liberals hate faith and religion, except Islam, of course. Well, I'll be a son of a gun. This is going on behind my back. And he further says, Middle Eastern terrorists would run wild in American streets. All borders will be open. You mean they're not now? The Taliban will become a political party in the USA and force the women to wear towels on their heads. Just like they're doing over in Afghanistan, where supposedly we were enforcing the rules there. Parts of the U.S. judicial system will be replaced by Sharia law. And here's this is bad here. if the Democrats take power. Mikey said, the Communist Party USA will become a greater power since everybody can come, also communist, can come in, also communists will be coming in. I have to stop this now, Mikey says. It's just too depressing. Don't let them do this to America, please. Keep voting Republican. I hope the next president is called Bush or Frist. I don't want to live under the Taliban, and I don't want my wife to wear a towel over her head. Well, 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 well. Can you imagine the laughter around a bunch of these neocons after hearing that? I think it would be just absolutely hysterical laughter. I really do. Well, it's a little past half past the hour right now. You can give us a call if you like. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. How many of you saw this story about this monstrous new embassy being built in Baghdad? Now, keep in mind, this is a small country, around 23 million inhabitants, I believe, give or take however many thousand that we've killed. But around 23 million, a very poor country. And we're building the largest embassy building in the world. The largest on the globe. It's the size of Vatican City in Italy. U.S. embassies typically cover about 10 acres. This one in Baghdad, a 104-acre complex, will comprise 21 buildings, have its own water wells, an electricity plant, and a wastewater treatment facility, which makes the huge compound completely independent of Iraq, whose interim government sold the land to the U.S. in October of 2004. Sold it to them. Terms of the agreement do not appear to be readily accessible. Oh, I bet they don't. The massive compound will include two major diplomatic office buildings, homes for the ambassador and his deputy, apartment buildings for staff, and a recreational facility that will provide a swimming pool, gym, commissary, food court, and an American club. In this case, the devil is less in the details than in the monumental size and cost of the endeavor. The likeness to a small fortified city is frightening to those who object to a permanent presence of the U.S. in Iraq, already destroyed by American bombs and depleted uranium, and the core of such fear lies in the question of why the U.S., already dangerously in debt back home and dangerously despised in Iraq and most of the Middle East, is pounding its chest with such a noisy bravado. Is this the final shock and awe? Those working in the embassy city are protected by extraordinary security overseen by U.S. Marines. Structures will be reinforced to 2.5 times the standard. There will be 5 high security entrances as well as an emergency exit and entrance, according to the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee report. Foreign relations? Presumably the hope was that at some point to look for olive branches, the U.S. and Iraq shaking hands and agreeing to go back to go and start all over again. So, from whom is such vast and expensive protection necessary? Were we ever within even shouting distance of being liberators? What kind of thinking would pour so much into a country that the White House says we want to turn over to the Iraqis as soon as possible? After all, we're the folks who brought freedom to Iraq. So why this elaborate expenditure at the same time that the people of the U.S. have finally awakened and turned against the invasion of occupation of a country that we now know never posed a threat to U.S. or anyone else? It's a hair past income tax time. Shouldn't those of us who filed have a word to say about where our checks are going? We've said no more. We want out as soon as possible, and yet the building goes on about a third completed as of this writing. Shall we take comfort in Mr. Bush's reassurances and hope he has a secret plan? Shall we look at the bright side and wonder how this impressive compound of compounds would work as an orphanage for the children whose parents we've blown to bits? This is a notable expenditure. It costs as much as it does to bomb mud huts in the desert each week. We, the dwindling middle class, are paying for it and paying through the teeth. And we're not paying sums like this for something that's meant to be temporary. Of our neocon acquaintances and non-political friends, we might ask, can you read about this construction? Look at the numbers involved. Think of the homeless, disease-ridden people in Iraq suffering from the highest unemployment of their lives and often having difficulty finding clean water, and then truly believe that the U.S. went to the Garden of Eden to help the Iraqi people? We're hearing from the war supporters that we don't hear the good news, that the media presents only the bad news. Thus, with this gargantuan but hush-hush project, we have to conclude that the construction of a permanent presence, an enormous watchtower over the entire Middle East and its oil, is the good news. But it's quiet out there, a thick buffer between the people who now want this insanity to end and the sound of hammers and chainsaws building walls and more walls and more. Surely a once proud Iraqi civilian, every wheelbarrow of mortar dragged across the new pavement that covers much of ancient Babylon is a symbol of unending loss. A great article written by Leah Saavedra at theoldamericancentury.org. You haven't heard anything about that, have you? Quiet, quiet, quiet. $1 billion, 104 acres for an embassy in a place where we say we're not going to keep an occupation. Ah, yes. Ah, yes. 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. I know a lot of you saw, because I got so many emails about it last night, you saw Dan Bartlett on Chris Matthews' program. And I admit the guy's good. He doesn't miss a beat. Once he starts spinning, you can't get him stopped, and you can't get him back on track. But you should, after he's done speaking, say, "Hey, wait a minute, Dan. You just told us a fat lie. Do you want to take this opportunity to correct it?" "No, Dan, you told us a fat lie." Last night, Tweety asked him if anybody in the administration had said something about this war would cause cheaper gas prices. And Dan Bartlett said, "The president or no one else in this administration ever said that this war would result in cheaper gas prices." That's what he said last night. "The president or no one else in this administration ever said that this war would result in cheaper gas prices." Oh, Dan. Oh, Dan. White House economic advisor Lawrence Lindsay in the Washington Times a couple of years ago. Let's quote him. Exactly quote him. The key issue is oil, and a regime change in Iraq would facilitate world oil, which would tend to lower oil prices," he said. But Dan Bartlett said no one in the administration ever said that. I guess Dan just kind of overlooked that, right? Never seen a group better at overlooking things than these fellows are. And also, I was sent an article that I found extremely interesting about America's billions of dollars that we're spending and have spent in Iraq are falling so short. And a lot of this was in the Chicago Tribune. John Ward Anderson and Bassam Sabidi did some of this in the Washington Post as well. Baghdad, on the southern outskirts of Baghdad, a sewage treatment plant. Now, I want you to keep in mind that recently we were hearing about all these good things, that we never hear the good news. You remember this great campaign they had on about a month ago, how they pounded away at it for several days, and they brought soldiers and their wives on TV, and they had Bush, appearing in those phony appearances of his in front of, you know, the signs and the soldiers and all that. Talking about there's good news in Iraq. There's good news in Iraq. There's lots of good news in Iraq. You're just not hearing it. This press, this liberal media is not telling you folks the truth. Well, here's some truth. You want to hear the news? Here it is. On the southern outskirts of Baghdad, a sewage treatment plant that was repaired with $13.5 million in U.S. funds sits idle, while all the raw waste from the western half of Baghdad is dumped into Tigris River, where, by the way, many of the capital's 7 million residents get their drinking water. Now that's some good news, isn't it? Adjacent to the Kark sewage plant in Iraq's most advanced sanitary landfill, a new 20-acre, $32 million dump, also paid for by the United States with a liner to prevent groundwater contamination. It has not had one load of garbage dropped off since the manager of the sewage treatment plant was killed 4 months ago. Iraqis consider the access road too dangerous, and Iraqi police rarely venture into the area, a haven for insurgents who regularly launch mortar shells across the city into the green zone less than 6 miles away. This is some of that good news. And here's some more of it. The mothball projects highlighted a growing concern amongst U.S. officials here whether Iraqis have the capacity to maintain, operate, and protect the more than 8,000 reconstruction projects costing $18.4 billion that the United States has completed or plans to finish in the next few years, which includes digging roadside drainage ditches, refurbishing hospitals and schools, and constructing electric power plants. As of June 2005, approximately $52 million of the $200 million in a completed large-scale water and sanitation project either were not operating or were operating at lower capacity due to looting of key equipment and shortages of reliable power, trained Iraqi staff, and required chemicals and supplies. This story goes on to name at least a dozen stories like this of money that we have spent, are continuing to spend in Iraq, that literally is money flushed down the toilet, which, by the way, empties directly, according to this, into the Tigris River instead of the sewage plant. That's where the money's going. That's the good news from Iraq. You wanted the good news, there it is. And by the way, I got an email this week from an old friend of mine who's stationed in Baghdad right now. He's a captain. Long in the tooth, been in the service for a long, long time. He was in Vietnam, and he told me the other day, we were talking about training these Iraqi soldiers to protect their own interest in their own country, and what a wild success the Bush administration is claiming that it is now, how we're getting so many of them trained to take over the duties, and we'll be able to redeploy our troops out of there. They're going to take over the duties of the American. They've taken over no duties of Americans so far. There have been no Americans sent home so far because of this excellent trained Iraqi army and police force. No Americans have gone home. But he was in Vietnam. And those of you old enough to remember how the American army lamented the fact that the South Vietnamese, let's be frank, had a pitiful army. They either didn't have the desire, or the will, or the capability of defending their own country. They didn't have it. And Americans at that time heard stories over and over and over again about how these people just wouldn't do the job. They either couldn't or they wouldn't. And it became evident as soon as we walked out of there, the North Vietnamese just walked right in and took over without a shot being fired, more or less. But my old friend, the captain, told me, who had been in South Vietnam, told me the South Vietnamese were lousy soldiers, but They were all Rambos and Audie Murphys compared to these stupid frickin' Iraqi soldiers, is exactly what he said. That's an exact quote. The training is a disaster. They take in new ones all the time. They stay a little while. They leave. All they're looking for is a paycheck. There is no great sense of nationalism. There is sectarian problems. They have problems within themselves of the Shias and the Sunnis in the same outfits fighting amongst each other. There is no cohesiveness in these fighting units. It's a real problem. But Bush says it's going real well. Gone real well. So, you know, let's do keep that in mind, I guess. Hey, we're going to take a break. Don't go away. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Don't follow the jerk, especially if he has lied to you. Don't follow the jerk. Doesn't know where he's going to. Everybody needs believing. Believe in something that keep your eyes open. Our pain is so small, our troubles are so big. It's time to wake up and fix what was broken. Don't follow the jerk. If he's smiling bright, don't follow this jerk. He took his country for one bad ride. Everybody needs believing. Believe in something, but keep your eyes open. Your king is naked. All the world can see it. It's time to wake up and fix what he's broken.
fact, my administration looked at the intelligence, and we saw a threat. Members of Congress looked at the intelligence, and they saw a threat. The United Nations Security Council looked at the intelligence, and it saw a threat.
Very funny!
Tell us what you think. Call Guy James now, 1-866-546-5254.
Oh, yeah, coming up on 10 minutes to the hour here on the Guy James Show. Somebody sent me a nice note. Somebody on DU, Democratic Underground, for you folks that don't know what that is. It's probably America's finest website if you want to go and explore matters of liberals and Democrats. DU's the place to do it. I've been going there for several years. I don't know, 3, 4, 5, ever since its inception. And a lot of folks have, I don't know, maybe 80,000 members, something like that. Anything you want to find out about a liberal cause, a liberal agenda, anything, you can find it out there. It's a wonderful, wonderful website. A lot of great people there. I mean, we've got our share. We've got our far left, and we've got our central, our centrist Democrats and all that. Everybody's there. And they're one big happy family, so to speak. But anyway, one of them told us they like their music that we play on the show. And said you pick some neat songs to play that I don't hear other places. Well, I spend a lot of time, actually. You might not think so, but I spend a lot of time looking for music you don't hear any other places. And I'll tell you the exact reason you don't hear some of the music I play on other programs, because... Well, I'll just say it. I'm thinking it, and so I'll say it. You know me. A lot of people don't have the guts to play some of the songs that we play on here, all right? That's it in a nutshell. All right. Some do. Some do. Some of my good friends do. But some don't. And let's just leave it at that. We've got the big shot from China visiting this week. And... He's over here. It's like he's coming over. He's going to spend. They're making a big deal. I've been spending $16.2 billion on American aircraft. He's going to come over and purchase. He's bringing his checkbook with him, and it's their largest ever buying delegation to the United States. And they're committed to purchase $16.2 billion in American aircraft, agricultural products, auto parts, telecommunications gear, and software for computers. The thing is, this show of checkbook diplomacy avoided the real issues. This is a real effort at some sort of salesmanship going on. Who wants to come across as charming and attentive to the American concerns? The U.S. trade deficit with China hit a record $202 billion last year. $202 billion. And so do you get what's happening here? And the press is just not following up on it. Exactly, a great analogy to what I see is happening here. It's like we give them $100 bills and they're throwing us a quarter and saying thanks, kid. I mean, that's what this boils down to, is $16.2 billion. How many American jobs have gone to China in the last few years because of Junior Bush's failed economic policies? You know, he said a while back, American workers can compete with anybody, anytime, anywhere, so long as the rules are fair. That's what he said. He said that this week. The trade deficit with China resulting in the loss of American jobs. The administration has not enforced trade laws. And they haven't stopped the Chinese currency manipulation that's going on. U.S. manufacturers are saying that China's yen is undervalued by as much as 15% to 40%, giving Chinese good a terrible unfair advantage that's cost America nearly 3 million manufacturing jobs since 2000. And the Bush administration has been criticized by members of Congress for not acting effectively to address China's continued manipulation of its currency. But they're in a spot, what can they do? Here's the thing. China is the second largest holder of U.S. debt right now. And it's increased by 120% since Bush took office. Does he not see what's happening here? The amount of U.S. debt owned by foreigners has increased 120% from approximately $1 trillion in January of 2001 to approximately $2.2 trillion at $2.2 trillion in February 2006. It took 42 American presidents and 224 years to build up that amount, $1 trillion, of foreign-held debt. And it took Bush, how long here? Can you see? Less than 5 years to more than double it. $265 billion in Treasury securities the Chinese own. So we're not going to do a whole lot of squawking at them, are we? No, I don't think so. They're in a position right now to start calling the shots. We said that would happen. It has happened. They're doing it to us. And what is G.W. Bush, old Junior Bush, what has he done? Nothing. Hadn't done anything to him. And again, I go back to those pictures today. You see him sitting in the Oval Office, I guess it was, where they were sitting with the Chinese leader there. Man, oh man. Do these foreign leaders look at him and go, what the hell's wrong with you? Do they go and talk to their interpreters and say, is this guy all right? Do they do that, I wonder? They've got to be saying something about him. And before I forget, my neighbor came running across the drive this morning when I was outside and told me that he got a letter about this new Medicare prescription drug benefit, warning that he could be kicked out of that program because the premiums haven't been paid. But his premiums have been paid. He signed up for the automatic Social Security deductions or else qualified for the free coverage either way that they're paid already. And yet he gets a letter in the mail saying he's going to be kicked out of it because the premium haven't been paid. And so I did a little research on this, and I'm finding out thousands, tens of thousands of people are getting these letters. That's working well, isn't it? You're of retirement age. You want to settle back. Take it a little easy. You're not going to live high on the hog. You're going to live on your Social Security and what little pension you got, and you got your Medicare prescription drug benefit, and government's telling you everything's just fine with it, and you get a letter, hey, guess what, sucker? You didn't pay your premium, so you're out of here. Well, wait a minute, I did pay the premium. Or wait a minute, I've got free premium coming. No, you're out of here. So, you know a lot of older folks. That'll keep them up at night. Is there nothing this administration can do right? Is there nothing they can do right? I hate to belabor the point day after day after day. I really do. You don't know how much I would enjoy, and I mean this from the very bottom of my heart, wherever the bottom of your heart is, I mean it from there. Where did that term ever come from? I don't know. I would love to come in here one day and talk about this Bush administration as having pulled off a spectacular success somewhere. In the economy, in world trade, in the war in Afghanistan, in the war in Iraq, in diplomacy with Iran, with our world standing, anything. I would love to come in here someday and say, my God, this is wonderful what the Bush administration has done, and make no mistake about it, I would do it. But it never happens. Never happens. Well, it's coming up on the top of the hour. I'm going to look for some good news while the news is on. I really will. I'm going to do my best, my utmost, to find some good news. You're listening to The Guy James Show, and don't go anywhere. We're going to have a little news. We'll be right back with more of The Guy James Show.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush says there have been no concrete advances in diplomatic talks with Chinese President Hu Jintao. China's president met today with Mr. Bush to discuss trade and other issues as hundreds of human rights protesters demonstrated outside. Iraqi Prime Minister Ibrahim al-Jafari has agreed to allow Shiite leaders to reconsider his nomination for a second term in office. A Shiite lawmaker said the majority is leaning toward changing the nomination when Parliament meets Saturday. A change in leadership could clear a months-long standoff that has been blocking the formation of a new Iraqi government. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff says the Bush administration will begin cracking down on companies that employ illegal immigrants. He said during a news conference today that those companies will be viewed as, quote, criminal organizations. The announcement comes on the heels of the arrests of 9 executives at crate and container maker IFCO Systems. The Minutemen patrolling the Arizona-Mexico border are giving President Bush an ultimatum. Either deploy military reserves and the National Guard to the border by May 25th, or they'll begin erecting a fence. A spokesman says some landowners in several border states have already given their permission for the project. In India, at least 62 people were killed in 2 separate bus crashes today. In northeastern India, a busload of 80 wedding guests crashed into a lake, killing 47. In northern India, 15 people died when their bus went over a steep embankment. In Nepal, 3 people were killed and dozens more injured when police fired at a crowd of pro-democracy demonstrators. Tens of thousands have protested over the last 2 weeks, demanding the king hand over power to an all-party government. In Moscow, top Russian government officials are refusing to stop working on an Iranian power station. Russia's state atomic power agency is helping Iran to build a $1 billion reactor. The U.S. says Russia's cooperation is needed to help change Iranian plans to enrich uranium. In North Dakota, residents are hunkering down in blizzard-like conditions and record-setting amounts of snow. Travel advisory warnings have been issued in some parts of the state, while others report power outages. It's now 2.5 minutes past the hour. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of hostility. You married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than the months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
China's economy grew by 10.2% in the first quarter, while its industrial output rose by more than 16%. That's according to China's National Bureau of Statistics. Russia will target the Asia-Pacific region while attempting to increase its share of the global nuclear fuel cycle services market. One official says talks are ongoing with Japan. Russia hopes to increase its stake in that country's nuclear energy market from 10% to up to 30% in the next 10 years. Former Enron CEO Jeffrey Skilling is spending his 6th and final day on the stand in his fraud and conspiracy trial. His co-defendant, Enron founder Kenneth Lay, is expected to begin testifying as early as Monday. Mortgage applications have dropped for the 2nd straight week. The Mortgage Bankers Association blames a fall in demand for home purchase loans as interest rates reach multi-year highs. Weekly U.S. jobless claims fell sharply, an indication that employers are feeling better about the economy. Last month, America's unemployment rate fell to 4.7%. Light sweet crude now stands at $71.85 a barrel. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow Jones is up 66 points, the NASDAQ is down 8 points, S&P 500 up 2 points. You can hear more at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White.
God bless America.
America. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Yes, it is. It is Guy James, live and in person, and so glad to be with you this afternoon. Coming to you from the Blue Waters and Sandy Beaches, a beautiful Fort Myers and Naples, Florida area. 90 degrees outside, but a cool and comfy, oh, I don't know, about 73 in here, according to the atomic clock on the wall. Yes, I'm one of those crazy people that's got those atomic clocks all over the place. I cannot stand it. Can't stand it, knowing if I'm a 1 second off. That's a sickness. I don't know what it's called. I've always had it. I will probably always have it. A lot of people that are in radio are time freaks, but I had it long before that. I was one of those ones telling stories about myself again. I was one of those ones that when I was a little kid, I'd tell my dad if we had a school program, if it started at 7 o'clock, I'd tell him it was 6:30. And we'd always be the first ones there. He never caught on to that. But just had this great fear of being late. I don't know what it is. That's some kind of a weird sickness. So if any of you psychiatrists are listening out there, give me a shout. Let me know what's wrong with me, and we'll see if we can't start working on it. Hey, so glad to have you all along this afternoon. I can't tell you how much I appreciate having our great audience along with us every single day. You provide me with a lot of great research every day that I do read almost everything that I get in. I do. And a lot of it's of great help to me. You turn me on to some stories that I might not otherwise find. I spend a good deal of time getting ready for this program every day, and some of you make the job a little easier by sending me some great articles. So I do appreciate that very much, and that's kind of a segue into what I wanted to talk about right now. I want to thank Richard, and Richard knows who I'm talking about. I'm not going to give his last name or his email address or anything, so you get a whole bunch of hate mail or like that. We discussed the fact that some of these characters sign us up for every spam or club on the planet. So, anyway, this is from Rick. And I thought it was a well-written article, so I'm going to read it in its entirety. Bear with me. I think you'll like it, too. So it's time to burn Iran. Okay, I'll bite. Why now? Everyone knows we're at war on two fronts and, for the most part, losing. Iraq is out of control, and blood runs in the streets like summer rain off a tin roof. Afghanistan is treated like a hidden, retarded child by shamed parents who want to disavow its existence. So again, why Iran now? George Bush has no credibility left, and is the joke of the neighborhood. His party is reaping the whirlwind of what they have sown because of corruption, theft, and outright treason. Things are so bad for the Republican Party, even the most insane Bush Party worshiper sounds like a fool or spellbound psychotic when they speak in any venue with their pious phrases. Unlike the aforementioned lost souls, though, the Republican power brokers have already conceded the House, and more each day are talking about the loss of the Senate as well. But again, why Iran now? Submitted for your approval are the reasons for why Iran now. As we know, our midterm election in the United States is only 7 months away. It took the Bush administration about the same amount of time to do the propaganda rollout for the invasion of Iraq. Timing is everything, and we've all learned that, quote, you never roll out a new product in August, unquote. Reason number two. If control of the Congress is won by the Democrats, then many Republicans will go to prison. Bush will be impeached, and the Republican Party will be dead for a very long time. Reason number three. The consequences of a nuclear war with Iran will create an additional fear factor with the voters, who have proven that when anything rocks the American voters' world, they fold up, hunt a hole, and vote away their inheritance for a bowl of safe soup. Reason number four. If a nuclear war is waged on Iran, the outcry from the Arab world will be a blaring, and a cry will be for revenge. That revenge will come in the form of a mushroom cloud here in the States. Reason number five. Like 9/11, which gave rise to our police state and unchecked power to Bush and his junta, Bush will simply once again sit by and let the event take place and enjoy a good book with friends. After many of our fellow Americans have been vaporized, dying of radiation exposure and other things, Bush can go on TV and say, "I have declared martial law. Now the United States Constitution is suspended, and everything that goes with it, including the election." Reason six. Once we are under martial law, there will be no impeachments, no investigation, and no one goes to jail except those who oppose their new king for life, George. Reason seven. Currently, the Republican-led Congress has authorized a bill to build detention camps to house illegal immigrants and, quote, "for other purposes," unquote. It goes without saying that many good Americans will hit the bricks and protest King George's convenient martial law scam, and that's exactly when all Americans will learn precisely what the term, quote, "for other purposes," unquote, means. Conclusion? For all that will say none of the above is possible, probable, and in place to happen, I say take a good look at your America today and compare it to your America on September 10, 2001. Now tell me again, it can't happen. I'm sure the blind will and the fool will, and for damn sure those who worship at the feet of power will. But I'm not asking them. I'm asking you. Rick. Well, I told you that was an excellent piece. I certainly think so. I think he's right on the money. I think he has eloquently put the thoughts of many of you down in that piece right there. Very, very, very fine piece of writing, Rick. Thank you. Thank you very, very much. I read that and thought it certainly needed to be heard. Did want to mention something very quickly in passing. One of our regular listeners called yesterday and said they'd gotten an email. I think it was Juanita. Forgive me if I'm wrong. But one of our regulars yesterday called and said they'd gotten an email. One of those ones that makes the rounds, you know, that your friends and family send you. And it had to do with the eagle in the Quran and verse 9-11 in the Quran and all that. Well, I got a shower of email and found out that that email that's passed around is patently false. There is no mention of the word eagle in the Quran. The word eagle occurs nowhere in the Quran. The quote is not from anywhere in the Quran. Chapter 9, verse 11 actually says, "But if they repent and keep up prayer and pay the poor rate, they are your brethren in faith." The rumor said a verse in the Quran would happen to correspond to the date of the attack on America predicts that the wrath of the eagle would be felt throughout the lands of Allah. Absolutely not true. So there you have it. We, our listeners are Johnny on the spot always. You can't get by with anything on this program. Anything that's wrong, we know about it instantaneously. Actually knew that before the show was over late yesterday, but didn't have a chance to pass it on to you. So thank you for the folks that sent that in to me. It's important that we dispel all those false stories and get the truth out to everyone. That's one of the main things we want to do on this program, is get the truth out to everybody. That's what this show is about. It's about truth. Little story going around about Hugo Chavez. He's getting his press right now. I'm certainly not in love with Hugo Chavez. He's got his good points. He's got his bad points. I don't know exactly what he's up to. Haven't made up my mind where he's going with this yet. But recent studies have shown that Venezuela quite possibly has the largest oil reserves in the world, and that they will have oil long after the Saudis run out of it. So that's got to be good news if you live in Caracas. The thing is, why not just admit it? Hugo Chavez is said to have the largest oil reserve in the world now, and our government is saying that we have no plans to take their oil. Why not just admit it? I mean it now. I'm not kidding. I'll bet anything I own that somewhere deep in the bowels of the White House, the Pentagon, the top desk drawer of Dick Cheney or Laura Bush's sewing basket, there's a full set of contingency plans to take Venezuela's oil. Do any of you doubt that? We already know that the CIA had these plans to get Chavez out of there, last year, whenever it was. We're going to hear more and more that Chavez is a threat to America. We'll hear stories that he's negotiating with Kim Jong-il in Iran right now to get some nukes to hear these PNAC guys tell it. And don't worry, our government will come up with something to justify taking his oil. It might not be for a couple years, but as soon as it looks like we're running out of oil, old Hugo is going to have a target on his back, and we'll take every drop of his black gold. We will. You can count on it. You can bet on it. You can bet anything you own on that. And that goes for anyone else in the world that's got the stuff. We'll suck every drop of oil for ourselves. There will never be a serious effort to conserve or change over to alternative fuels as long as there's a drop of oil to be had anywhere on this earth. And it doesn't matter whatsoever to the Bushes or to many Americans, for that matter, just where it is, because they'll convince themselves and the American public somehow that we've got the right, we'll rationalize it, we've got the right to take it for our national security. God bless America and ExxonMobil. The Russians, South America, the Orient, it doesn't matter. That oil is going to make its way to American refineries someday. As long as we've got plenty of soldiers and a well-financed military machine, we'll get the oil all right. Oh, yeah. We'll be the last ones to run out of oil. Anybody gets in our way, just nuke them. That's right, nuke them. You're already hearing that. You heard about the Bush's plan to build 125 new nuclear weapons every year? Man, how far can they go with this? 125 new nuclear weapons every year. What are we going to do with those? That's supposed to scare guys like Hugo Chavez and the rest of the world? Now I see we've made a deal. And whoever thought this would happen, they made a deal with Bulgaria. Can anybody tell me what in the hell we're doing putting troops in Bulgaria? And Sofia, Bulgaria, up to 225 U.S. troops can be deployed in the country on a rotational basis. And they can increase them up to 5,000 for a 30-day period while the rotation's in progress. What did we pay them to do that? I don't know. This agreement with Bulgaria is going to give U.S. troops access to three bases in southern Bulgaria for training and logistical operations. The deal is seen as part of a broader U.S. strategy of shifting troops based in Europe. And here's the catcher, further east. Soldiers will remain under U.S. jurisdiction, but in case of grave crimes or crimes of substantial public interest, Bulgaria may unilaterally introduce Bulgarian jurisdiction. The agreements between the United States and Russia on non-deployment of nuclear weapons in the new NATO member states, guarantees that there will be no nuclear weapons in Bulgaria, though. Well, that's good news. Everybody in Bulgaria can sleep at night now. I hate talking about it this way. I hate talking about it this way. Like many of you, and I give my age away when I talk about it, I was raised in what I think was the best time to be ever to be raised in this country. I was in grade school through the 50s and graduated from high school in the 60s. And oh yeah, we had the Cold War going on. But, man, oh man, looking back over it now and comparing it to these times and times before that, those were great times. Those were fabulous times to be living. We lived the American dream. Our family wasn't rich, but, you know, we lived good. Everybody did. Almost everybody did. And yes, 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 we had Khrushchev pounding his shoe on the desk and we will bury you and all that crap, but except for the time the Cuban Missile Crisis up, which did definitely worry everybody, but except for that, it was a peaceful time. But moreover, it was a time when all of us, I didn't know a single soul they wouldn't stand and salute the flag and have a tear running down their cheek and think, my God, this is the greatest country on earth and we can do no wrong. We never have done any wrong and we never will because this is America and we always do the right thing. And our government looks out for our people and our government cares about the rest of the people in the world. That's the time in which I was raised. And I know I looked at some of it with rose-colored glasses. I know that. But it was a time, and history has proven it was a time, that we look back and see that the United States of America at that time really was the most benevolent nation on earth. The United States of America during that time really was the country that was keeping the peace on the earth and looking after it. We did keep a nuclear war from happening. I believe we did. Who knows what would have happened if the Russians had continued unabated and we hadn't answered. I don't know. I'm no military expert. But I do know that Americans could look with pride upon their government most of the time back then and know that our government was looking out for our best interest. At least we felt that way. At least that was the perception. We were fresh from a victory in the Second World War. Our parents, many of whom had served in the war, my father did, didn't want any more conflict, didn't want their children going to a war. Had seen enough. It was time for peace and prosperity in the world. And the United States of America was most certainly the leader in both of those categories. And we were proud. And we were proud to be Americans. But look where we are now. Take a good look of what we have descended to now. Take a good look around the world. As I was talking about yesterday, about the fine gentleman I met from Switzerland and the gentleman from Hungary and other people I've met lately, the view the rest of the world has about our country now, and you can sit there in your home if you're one of these radical right-wingers and say, I don't give a damn what the rest of the world says about us. I do. And we need to. We need to care what the rest of the world thinks. This planet is getting smaller and smaller every day and more inhabited every day, and we are finding out every day that we are not the only people on this earth. We are not the only people on this planet that deserves to live well. We're not the only people on this earth that deserves to live a dignified life. We don't own all the resources on this earth. We don't own and deserve all the oil on this planet. We, as the most prosperous nation on this earth, while we still are the most prosperous nation on earth, need to be stewards of the environment. We need to be stewards of peace. But we're failing in those categories now. We're failing badly. And why are we failing badly? We're failing because we have a government that does not represent the people of the United States in any way whatsoever. And I'm talking about the majority of the people in the United States. And the polls lately show it. Yes, there's maybe one-third of the people that think we're on the right path. But there's fully two-thirds of the people that think we are not. And when two-thirds of this nation believes in their hearts and souls that we're on the wrong path, that means that we are on the wrong path. Human nature is not that far off. And so it behooves us to take a look at why. Why are we that far off the path? And when did we get that far off the path? And I submit to you that it has been a gradual process, but it has speeded up considerably in the last 5 years. A very radical, dangerous group of men and women have taken over the government. Very radical. Americans don't want to hear that word in relation to their government. Radical. Dangerously radical. Their views do not comport with the ideas that the average American has for this country. In no way, shape, or form. And had the American people had access to the truth through a fair-minded media, these people would not be in power. The friend of this administration has been secrecy. The friend of this administration has been a media that has hidden the truth from the people. A media that has been compliant with the wishes that these people have for the utmost secrecy. And they've hidden their evil agenda. And it's come out piece by piece by piece. And finally, the American people are beginning to see it. And that's why we now live in a country where two-thirds of the people do not agree with the direction of this country. Greatest nation on earth. Absolutely the greatest nation on earth. And we have fallen prey to this menace that is our present government. The good news is, this is the United States of America. The good news is, the people of this country, that once they have the truth put in front of them, will decide enough is enough, and we will change this government, and we will put this train back on the track and lead this country back to world leadership where it belongs, where it has always been, and accept our rightful place in the world as a world leader. The American people are understanding that now. They're understanding that we're in trouble. They're understanding that things need to be put right again. And I'm telling you, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. It's got to be done, it must be done, and it will be done. We're going to take a break now. We'll be coming back in a couple of minutes. Hope to hear from you. 866-546-5254.
When this world seems so uncertain, and your cares just weigh you down, this two-step through your hurting, you'll find good friends all around. You just do the American two-step. Here's a catchy tune, you'll be a marching soon. Do the American two-step. It's the one true way from the USA. All of you people over in Baghdad, tell all the folks in Iran too. Drop the CD on Damascus. Spin the track, Kim Jong too. Now there's no place that you can't do it. It's got a beat that's always cool. It's left and right, there's nothing to it. Now you can two-step for the red, white, and blue. Two-step for the red, white, and blue. Now you just do the American two-step. It's a catchy tune, you'll be a marching soon. Do the American two-step. It's the one true way from the USA. Makes no difference if you're black or white. Brown and yellow, they can two-step too. You'll be marching, yeah, with the rest of them. When old glory calls the tune. You just do the American two-step. It's a catchy tune, you'll be a marching soon. Do the American two-step. It's the one true way from the USA.
I'm sick and tired of the bullshit. So I'm so sick and tired of all this bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
Entertainment ain't as entertaining as entertainment could be. And I'm so sick and tired of all the bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
So darling, despite all the problems in the world, hunger in the land, we'd rather the old people know who took a jury stand. Scott Peterson tried, well, he's a murderer, I agree. There's a lot more things in this world that your country needs to see. Well, it all started with O.J. running in his old white Bronco.
Where's O.J.?
Running from the law with a bloody glove. He hit the road.
The open road.
And here we are in the middle of a war with clamor, fighting to be free.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Well, there's a patriot act at home. It's monitoring you and me.
Mass destruction.
But it's water under the bridge when the next thing you know, spicy sex tape, or reality show, it's crossed the line. Jessica Simpson's made
mass destruction.
Yes, I'm so sick and tired of all this bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit. Entertainment ain't as entertaining as entertainment can be. And I'm so sick and tired of all this bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
Darling, if you'd pass the time, won't you entertain me? It's here we are. Starting a war, we claim the rest of the world can't have news.
Not Iran.
Well, the only thing on my TV screen is them retro days of Dukes.
What does she eat?
Well, the rest of the world is watching. Well, they probably dropped their jaw. Is old Bush, she watches that with a Kyoto protocol.
Global what?
And Mr. Murdoch is smiling. And Mr.
Good man.
Cause they both live that American dream while the rest of the world is paid. And the Enron execs are smiling.
Jail?
Well, they golfing and having fun. Not worried about the lives they ever run, drinking boat drinks and the sun. And I'm so sick and tired of all this bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
Entertainment ain't as entertaining. Entertainment can be. Yes, I'm so sick and tired of all this bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
I'm a darling, if you could pass the time, won't you entertain me?
It's the bullshit.
Oh, yeah. I love that little piece. And we'd like to thank... We'd like to thank Alan Brookman for sending that to us. It's a great little piece he did, and he's got Alan Brookman, BROOKMAN.com. Take a look at his website. He's got some great tunes on there. He's a good musician, does some funny stuff, does some serious stuff. I like his work. I really do. And I think you will, too. Thanks for coming with us this afternoon for these couple of hours that we're on the air today on this, Thursday afternoon. Got one more day left in the week. TGIF coming up tomorrow. And then weekend for most of you folks. I'm busy during the weekend. Are you busy during the weekend? Do you get the weekends off? It's been many, many, many years since I've had the weekends off. I'm trying to think. I think it's been, oh my, definitely back in my early 20s, I would say, since I've had weekends off. So really don't know what it's like to have every weekend off. I won't say I've never had any weekends off during that time, because most certainly have, but not as a matter of course all the time like some folks do. Lots of folks been Monday through Friday folks all their lives, and every weekend comes up and it's just have fun and play time. So, hey, we spoke a little earlier about these, Rick did, about these detention centers that are being built around the country under the guise of being for immigrant detention centers. And it really does say, raise the specter of World War II Japanese internment camps. Mm-hmm. And it says these new facilities could be used for roundups of Muslim Americans or other American citizens tagged as enemy combatants. And guess who's building them? $385 million contract to build these detention centers. Well, it's our good friends Halliburton. Of course. Yes, sir. Detention centers. How many of them? I'm trying to find how many it is. Somewhere in this article it did say how many. 11 or something like that. But they're going to have places to keep us if we get out of hand, you see. Uh-huh. Detention centers. Does it not scare you when you hear that Bush Co., in conjunction with Halliburton, is building detention centers? I know it does bother me just a little bit. Just a wee little bit it does bother me. I'm a student of history. And I'm also a guy that hates to pull up to the gas station nowadays, like most of you. And I see there is being a little hell raised over that Exxon executive retiring with a $400 million retirement package that we talked about yesterday. So, who knows? Maybe they'll cut it down a little bit and make it take it down to $380 million or something. But what's with the record prices for oil right now is what I want to know. Yeah, constantly, 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 you hear this administration talking about we're in a time of war. Who can defend the obscene profits of ExxonMobil last year? Was it $36 million, $36 billion? Except for the Bushes and the executives from ExxonMobil who've, let's be honest, bought and paid for many politicians. Except for them, who can excuse the robbery of the public taking place at the gas pumps right now? Who can? You know, Junior Bush, and I want you to think seriously about this, even my Republican friends out here who it flabbergasts me that they can defend this, and they do. All they do. Junior Bush likes to call himself a war president and compare his war to World War II. He's starting to say that now. World War II was Hitler's war, and the Iraq War is Junior Bush's war. They each had their war. I want to give him his due, after all. He does have his very own war. Anyway, he likes to talk about his war in terms of the Second World War, and he made an absurd comment at the Air Force Academy last year. And let me quote it for you. Mr. Bush said, and I quote, "Like the Second World War, our present conflict began with a ruthless surprise attack on the United States," end quote. First of all, there he was again mentioning 9/11 along with his preemptive war against Iraq. He went on to do it again by saying, and I quote, "As we mark this anniversary, we are again a nation of war. Once again, war came to our shores with a surprise attack and killed thousands in cold blood," end quote. The crowd cheered. Pardon me. But this speech was at the Air Force Academy. Aren't the members of the Academy supposed to be smarter than the rest of us? And they cheered what he said, not knowing that he was snookering them too by hooking 9/11 up with the Iraq War. Damn, what do you got to do to convince people of that? Anyway, for the moment, let's play his little game. Maybe we are engaged in a global war. And if that's the case, then isn't there ample precedent for Junior Bush to force the oil companies to limit their profits and lower the cost of gasoline just like they did during the Second World War? Yes, they did during the Second World War. Gas prices are up by over 40% from last year, and they're expected to go even higher. They're getting us all buttered up for that, getting us ready for it. All the oil companies are making profits like they've never made before. And I want you to remember, these companies bought oil reserve years ago when the prices were $10 and $25 a barrel. Now it's up to over $70 a barrel. Oil prices are now going upwards of $70. I know today at one time at least, it was up to 72 something. But how many people know that the federal government sought lower prices and limited corporate profits during the Second World War? Did you know that? Well, it's true. That's part of the reason, if you go back and search out the reasons, that's the reason why so many Republicans, even today, hate Franklin Roosevelt. He kept some of them from gouging the American public during a time of war and kept their war profiteering to a minimum. Holding down prices was one of the U.S. government's important economic achievements during World War II. It was accomplished largely by the Office of Price Administration. In 1941, President Franklin Roosevelt created the Office of Price Administration, who's called the OPA. And Congress gave credence to this new governmental agency by passing the Emergency Price Control Act in 1942. The director of the OPA was given the authority to determine the price of a product that he determined to be generally fair and equitable. He also had the authority to sue corporations and retailers for damages if they violated the price limits. And during the last year of World War II, over 71,000 retailers were forced to pay $5.1 million for violating price limits. Recent polls have shown that rising gasoline prices are one of the most pressing issues that the public now wants President Bush to address. Similarly, in 1941 and 1942, polls showed that the public wanted the government to limit corporate profits and the prices of many commodities. Consequently, the OPA that I just told you about simply froze most prices in March of 1942, and when corporations and retailers attempted to skirt the OPA, Roosevelt issued an executive order in October of 1942, creating an economic stabilization director for the nation. The director was given the authority to set national prices for most items, and Roosevelt made him responsible for preventing increases that were unnecessary and unfair. The executive order mandated that the Economic Stabilization Director's office, quote, in fixing, reducing, or increasing prices, shall determine price ceilings in such a manner that profits are prevented which in his judgment are unreasonable or exorbitant. Does that ring true today or not? I think it does. Today, oil companies would almost certainly complain that these governmental limitations on profits and prices violate their rights. You know they would. They'd have an army of lawyers down there right away. Businesses made the same objections in World War II. However, the Supreme Court disagreed. And in the case of Yakis versus the United States, the court found in 1944 that the price limits were constitutional. The court ruled, and I quote, there is no principle of law or provision of the Constitution which precludes Congress from making criminal the violation of an administration regulation, end quote. So when the war ended, the OPA and the Economic Stabilization Director were abolished. And certainly not surprisingly, corporate profits went crazy. In the year following the end of World War II, consumer prices rose 67.4%. And clearly one of the significant economic achievements by the Roosevelt administration in World War II was holding down prices, mainly by governmental controls. And I know this drives the conservatives nuts to hear the likes of me talk about government controls on prices. Bush insists that we're engaged in a global battle similar to the Second World War, and if that's the case, he should insist on limiting soaring oil prices. He has, after all, both the historical and the legal precedent to support this. I realize, of course, that this is just a pipe dream. Bush would never, never do anything to upset his fat cat oil pals. Never. After all, it was they who played a large part in buying his office for him. That's right, buying his office. You don't really think an ex-drug monkey like Bush could ever attain the office of President of the United States on his own merits, do you? Of course not. It was bought and paid for him. So at a time when the great masses of people in this country are hurting, when they pull into the gas pump, they're not buying this gas to go driving around and cruising at night. They're buying this gas to get to work. People are driving farther and farther to get to work. Where I live, for example, the community of Naples, Florida, is not affordable for the working man to live in. Not at all. I do require a great number of people in the trades to work there, though, in the hospitality industry and the trades. Tremendous number of building going on. The people that work there don't live there. They cannot. They cannot afford to. So what do? They drive a great distance to work every day. So this isn't gas that people are going out wasting. Oh, yes, that's not to say there isn't some gas being wasted around this country. There is. But these are the working people every day that are filling up their tanks and driving to work. Guys out driving their plumbing supply trucks and their carpentry trucks and their carpool cars going to work. See this every day on Interstate 75 here in Florida. People are hurting. And it's a domino effect, and it's affecting small business everywhere. That money that's going in the gas tank, at the gas pump, ending up at ExxonMobil headquarters, giving that SOB a $400 million retirement package, is coming out of the pockets of average American Joe, and he cannot afford it. And since he's spending $60 or $50 for a tank of gas now instead of $25 or whatever it was before, he can't afford to eat out, so the restaurants are hurting. He can't afford to go to the local store and buy his kid a pair of shoes because it's going in the gas tank. He can't afford this and he can't afford that because the money is going into the coffers of the filthy rich that own and operate these oil companies with the blessing of George Bush and Dick Cheney. The two men who bragged that won't it be great to have two men with such deep ties to the oil business. Won't it be good to have them as the leadership of this country? And what has it done for us? What has it done for the people of this country to have two men deeply immersed in the oil business? You see what it's done for us. It's made us slaves to ExxonMobil. That's what it's done. I don't know where this is going to end up. I suspect there's no end in sight to the price of gasoline. They will continue to gouge us. Why? Because they can. And I'm telling you right now, were I the President of the United States and I had a conscience, which our President of this United States does not have a conscience, I would put price controls on these oil and oil companies and let them sue the government. Let them bring their armies to the Supreme Court. And who knows, with the Supreme Court we've got right now, they might just get away with doing what they're doing, but they are robbing and pillaging and raping the American public, and they're getting away with it every single day. I don't like it, you don't like it, and most of the working people in this country don't like it, but what the hell? We can't do anything about it, can we? Can't stop buying the gas. Yes, there's these little stories going around, oh, well, let's not buy from ExxonMobil. Hell, I don't buy gas from ExxonMobil anyway. It wouldn't be, it's nothing I can get in on. I never buy gas from ExxonMobil. I've been buying Cesar Chavez gas for a long time. Or Hugo Chavez. Pardon the mistake on that. I've been buying gas, Chavez gas for a long time. What are you going to do? You're slaves to these people, and there's just not a damn thing you can do about it, and you're not getting any sympathy from the United States government. But if there's been a time in the last 50 years in this country, since Harry Truman's days, when he wanted to get in on the steel strike and put a stop to that for the good of the country, if there's been a time since that time in this country where the United States government should get involved in price controls and do something to help out the working man here, now is the time. But you see, it's not just the Bush administration that won't do anything about it. Do you hear any of the Democrats clamoring about it either? No. Why? You know why. They have no interest in the subject either. As long as these people inside the Beltway live their royal lives, which they do live royal lives, as long as they represent themselves and not represent the people of this country, we're going to continue to have these problems. And that's why I've been saying for a while now that not only do we need to throw out the George W. Bush government and all the people with him, we need to overhaul the Democratic Party as well. We need to go back to the sound principles and philosophies of the Democratic Party we grew up with. That's where we need to go. I wasn't kidding. And lest you think I'm going off the deep end about a subject like this, I wasn't kidding when I said that we need to march on Washington and throw the bums out. I am not kidding. I'm deadly serious about that. I hope that I can plant a seed, that you in turn will plant some seeds, that we can talk, we can get together, and we can make some plans, and we can do this, that we can start this, and maybe it's something that'll catch on across this land. We've got a very small microphone here. We don't reach the people that a Limbaugh or a Hannity or those folks do, but maybe, just maybe, maybe we can plant a small seed and grow something strong and fruitful that'll work for the benefit of the people of this country for a change. Consider it. A huge march on Washington. It's not radical. It's not radical at all. It would be the people speaking. The people speaking, getting through to our politicians, showing up in person at their offices, at their buildings, at their places of work in Washington, and showing them that we mean business, that we are united, that we are the working people of this country, and we want our government to represent us for a change instead of corporate America. I apologize for preaching all day long today. Been one of those days. You read these things all the time and get a little bit down over it. Get a little bit down when you see a guy getting a $400 million contract. People have trouble paying their electric bills. People have trouble paying their fuel bills. And you see a man getting a $400 million contract of retirement. It's sad. I have nothing against making money. Hell, I like to make money. I'm sure most of you are love the idea of making money as well. It doesn't run my life, but it's always good to have enough, just enough, not in excess, just enough. That's all we need. But there are people that never understand when enough is enough. And as the old saying goes, enough is never enough for the man whom enough is not enough. That's a riddle, I guess. I know, the great majority of people in this country, it's all they want to do is live, love, and be happy and have enough money to pay their bills. There are a lot of people that enjoy excess, and I won't deny that there's a time in my life that I probably enjoyed it as well. But there comes a time when you find out what's important in life, and it isn't money. It's important to have enough, but that's all that's important, just to have enough, to live, love, and be happy. I'm so glad you joined us here today on the Guy James Show. Like I said, I've got a little preachy today, I suppose. I do that now and then. I do so enjoy getting all your email every day. Enjoy hearing from you. I love hearing your views. If you like what we say, if you don't like what we say, I love hearing from you. And we try and respond to as many of you as we possibly can. Once again, I want you to know that you've heard from the radical right. You know that. Now all that's left is the truth. Thanks for being here on the Guy James Show. We'll see you again tomorrow.